The reading I chose on Monday, before a lot of things happened this week, was one from Philippians, again, which I have never used, but maybe it was divine inspiration because it's so appropriate for today. This is from chapter 3, and Paul here is trying to say to the people of Philippi, especially the Jewish converts, that it's really okay that you're a convert, because all those things that you were, I was. But when you find Christ, all these things seem to pale in their importance. And so at the end, he suggests that he's still trying to accomplish, to achieve the goal. But that is his hope and his intent. In a way, he's writing this from prison before he dies. And I thought this is probably could be seen as his obituary, because it really is very, very appropriate. Explains his life, explains his purpose, and certainly his vision. This from chapter 3. If you or anyone thinks that you have reason to trust in yourself, you should know that I have greater reason for trusting in myself. For I was circumcised 8 days after my birth, entering Judaism. I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew, and my parents were Hebrews. I had a very strict view of the law, which is why I became a Pharisee. I was so enthusiastic, I tried to hurt the church. No one could find fault with the way I obeyed the laws of Moses. Those things were important to me. But now, I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Not only those things, but I think all the things that I've known are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have lost all those things. And now I know that they are worthless trash. This allows me to have Christ and to belong to him. Now I am right with God, not because I followed the law, but because I believed in Christ. God uses my faith to make me right with him. I want to know Christ and the power that raised him from the dead. I want to share his sufferings and become like him in his death. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached the goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason he made me for this. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there is one thing I always do know. Forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead, I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to life above. The word of the Lord. When I first read this, my original thought was how important it is for us to recognize and to hear from somebody who has been there that the journey of life, if we're indeed believers, is a journey somehow into union with God. And that journey is never complete. It can never be finished as we know life. We can never be so fully united with God in this life to be as transparent, perhaps, as Jesus was, or as some other wonderful people before us, because life is a struggle. You may have noticed. On the cover of the bulletin this week, I chose this picture with purpose. I titled it Racing to the Goal. It is a picture from the Paralympics in 2012 that took place in London. And this is one of the racers who has no legs, but has participated in the race, going after what every one of us goes after, somehow achieving the goal. And even though he has hampered or he's challenged, he persists in pursuing the goal. I thought that was a pretty good image of what Paul is talking about. And then when our friend died this week, it took on an altogether different meaning, because this was a woman who loved life unbelievably. She just saw life so joy-filled, able to laugh, able to joke, able to see the bright side of many things, even though her life was filled with challenges. I mean, challenges. And even in the last year, when she was diagnosed with fibrosis of the lung, which we knew was a terminal illness, she never stopped being herself. She never stopped being the giver, the one who took care of so many people in her life. And never stop being the best friend. I don't hold her up as a model of anything, but as a reminder to all of us that, as you said in your first, the opening song, the opening choir piece, love is the answer to a lot of the problems we have. And that sounds so darn simplistic. It sounds so simplistic as to be ridiculous. You might find it in a fortune cookie. But it is the bottom line truth. That is what Paul's talking about. What is union with God except an immersion in love? And what happens when we love? Better yet, what happens to us when we are loved? When somebody loves us as we are, we have a new freedom, and it's a freedom that cannot be arrived at in any other way. I heard a song the other day that talked about how wonderful is the solitude. And all I could think of was 47 years of solitude that wasn't so wonderful. Silence and solitude are good in moments, but not as a lifestyle, a lifelong journey. Genesis was right when it recorded that divine message that it is not right that anyone should be alone. Because alone, you do not know who you are. You cannot know who you are. When you are loved, you have a different vision. You begin to see with different eyes. You hear things differently. You experience life differently. Everything becomes a shared experience. And so if you're delighting, the delight is compounded by the fact that you have somebody delighting it with you. And if you're having a hard time, you have somebody sharing the hard time with you. I'm sure the man who massacred those people last week had a difficulty knowing who he really is. Whether it was mental illness, whatever, it would seem that, in circumstances anyway, he had a relationship that hopefully gave him some sense of himself. But when you are loved by somebody, you could never possibly do that. When you've been touched by the kind of love that transforms you, you cannot possibly in any way behave like that. That is why we are so adamant when we talk about Christian love and we talk about what we believe as God will for us as loving people. There's no room for hatred. There's no room for judgment. There's no room for hurting and somehow destroying the world we touch. There can't be. It's the exact opposite of what God gave us as a pattern for life. Now, we've said here many times, and we'll repeat it a number more times, hopefully before we're gone. The goal of religious faith, the goal of personal faith, is not salvation, unless you define salvation as being one with God. Salvation, unfortunately, has many meanings. And many of them in Christian teaching today, very vociferously, have to do with living up to a certain code, living by a certain standard, judging yourself and others according to the depth of, or your willingness to express the depth of, your faith openly. That somehow, intellectually, you grab hold of some concept that will continue to feed you day by day by day and move you forward in terms of growth. Brothers and sisters, there is no thought on this earth that you can keep before you always that's going to change who you are. Because that thought is very easily replaced by the experiences of life that challenge that thought. So for all the people today who may be talking about loving and the impact it has on each one of us, there is judgment being made against that poor guy who massacred those people because we've defined salvation not as union with God and loving, but we've defined it as a way to get to heaven, a way to deal with the sins that we have, a way to somehow get God's pleasure toward us, a way of getting grace. And that's still so strangulating. It's so negative. The goal of faith, your faith and my faith, the only goal we should be after is to have union with God, however that translates into your life. But you know your union with God is there if you see a change in your heart. If you see your change in your perspective, if indeed, like your best friend loving you, you somehow are touched in a way that opens you up to possibilities you never thought of before, that empowers you to do even more to heal the world and nothing more to hurt the world. What I like about Paul's statement is that he, like us, said very comfortably, "I know I'm not there yet, and I may never get there, but I will continue to run the race to see if I can capture the goal." And so when things get tough, when life doesn't make sense, when hurts are overwhelming, when feelings kind of take over our consciousness, when fear, anxiety, and all those things bother us in our lives, that's when we need to trust. We need to trust that what Jesus said was true, even though it may not seem true for me right now, that what he said was true. That each one of us is loved, and because we are loved, we are empowered to let peace begin with us, to let love and healing begin with us, to let forgiveness and pardon begin with us, and to let the body of Christ, the human race, find unity beginning with us. That's the goal. And let us find comfort in knowing we are on the road to that goal together. We're not alone. Amen. Hampered, not despairing, challenged, and yet not defeated. We live this way because God somehow touched each one of us at some point in our lives in a way that opened us up to the possibility that we were not responsible for everything that happened to us. We were not responsible to fix everything that was wrong. We were not personally responsible to cure the illnesses of the world. But we are responsive to those whose lives we touch, responsive in our ability to love, to be compassionate, to show mercy, and therefore to let people know that they are being touched by God's presence. The road is simple. The path is clear. But the signs along the way can be very confusing. The things we have been taught, the doctrines that we have heard, the things that are laid out for us as way of life, sometimes demean the goal and therefore make no sense of the journey. But Holy One, we ask you to touch each one of us this day with a clearer understanding of how indeed you have been part of our lives. That how the love experiences we've had in our lives were representations and moments of contact with you. And that the love that we are able to generate is only because we are empowered by your abiding love within us. On our own, we are fairly powerless. But acknowledging and opening ourselves to you, we have divinity and eternal life in our hands. Help us to seize the opportunities we find in our days to be loving, to be compassionate, and to be life-giving in the way we speak, in the way we care for each other. And open our hearts and our minds to the truth that you indeed love all of creation. And it is we who need to trust more and more in that truth to bring about change in our world. We pray for those who mourn. We hold dear those who are suffering in any way. We reach out to our brothers and sisters around the world who are struggling for survival. We are conscious, aware of the needs of those who are struggling after the aftermath of hurricanes and earthquakes. We hold dearly brothers and sisters whose lives are threatened by war, by catastrophes, by political choices, by the dominant rules of their society. But as one people, one human race, belonging to one another as brothers and sisters, we raise our voices together in the eternal love that is buried deep within us, and cry out to you as God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.